Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue on our study of Islamophobia and the 2020 election. Our broadcast today is a little bit different than previous programs because we are talking about a court case. We're talking about a crime which was committed by one white man against three Muslim individuals. In our broadcast today, Professor Todd Green will emphasize on two Islamophobic strategies. These are 3 and 4, Muslims' anti-Semitism and radical Islamic terrorism. So please listen carefully to his case, then I will present my rebuttal.
In terms of the numbers 3 and 4, right, Muslim anti-Semitism and the radical Islamic terrorism narratives, I found this news event from 1 month ago today to be quite relevant to this, even though this is not directly about presidential politics, but it is about the political atmosphere that's out there right now and these narratives and how they're sticking. So on the left-hand side, you have a man named Dr. Muhammad Abu Salah, who is the father of two Muslim women who were murdered along with her husband in Chapel Hill, North Carolina in 2015. And some of you might remember this. This was a murder at execution style in their apartment at point-blank range by a man who harbored white nationalist tendencies and sympathies. A month ago, on Capitol Hill, there was a hearing on the problem of white nationalism. Did anyone remember that? A lot of the hearing actually didn't focus on that. That's another story. But that was, in theory, what the hearing was supposed to be about. So Dr. Abu Salah was called to testify about the impact, the personal impact, of the rise of white hate, white nationalist hate, right, on him and his family. And have a conversation again with those he's testifying to in Congress about and how we can move forward with this. What happens instead for a lot of the questioning of Dr. Abu Salah is that he's questioned about whether he taught his daughters to hate, whether he taught his daughters to be violent, whether he or Islam teaches anti-Semitism and the hatred of Jews. Remember what the hearing is about, white nationalism. Remember who he is, the father of two murdered daughters. And he's being questioned, not just a little, but a lot, about Islam and whether it promotes hate, whether it promotes violence, the terrorism piece, and whether it promotes anti-Semitism. And there are other people who are called to testify who are pushing the narrative that Islam promotes hatred of Jews, even though that's not what the hearing is about, right? So it's an example, and even on the Democratic Party, there are Democratic congressional representatives who are asking these kinds of questions. In some cases, maybe unwittingly, but they were feeding the narrative. So what we see here is a really effective distraction technique to push the conversation away from white nationalism and back to Islam and its dangers in terms of terrorism or in terms of anti-Semitism. So those narratives are there, and I don't think any of that was an accident. I think this, again, is fairly deliberate, or even if it's unwitting in some cases, it's because of an internalized Islamophobia that's out there.
Before I even say anything about that case, I have to say that we are very sorry, and I mean it, not like most Muslims who celebrate the death of the infidels. I myself felt so bad to see Dr. Muhammad Abu Salha to lose his two daughters and his son-in-law. Especially, these were young children, and they died as Muslims, not as believers in Christ. But here are the lies of Professor Green. He is trying to tell us that this murder was at execution style in their apartment at point blank range. And then he literally became the jury and he found that white man to be guilty, as we read, by a man who harbored white nationalist tendencies and sentiments. How did Professor Green know these facts? Did he go to the trial? Did he hear the court case? Or did he just hear the father of the victims, Dr. Muhammad, who made the statement? The answer is actually in the words of the father of these two young ladies who died in North Carolina. I'd like to share with you more information about this case to know exactly what we're talking about here. In Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the father of two of the victims of a triple homicide in Chapel Hill Tuesday tells the Raleigh News and Observer newspaper that his daughters and son-in-law, who were Muslims, were victims of a hate crime. Dr. Muhammad told the newspaper that his daughters, who wore a headscarf, had told him that Craig Stephen Hicks, the 46-year-old man charged with the murders, lived next door and that, quote, they were uncomfortable with him, but that they did not know he would go this far, end quote. The paper quotes Dr. Muhammad as saying his daughters told him, quote, he hates us for what we are and how we look, end quote. Hicks, 46, has been charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of Dea Shadi Barakat, 23, his wife Yusur Muhammad, 21, and her sister Razan Muhammad, 19 years old. Sources told CBS affiliate WRAL that all three victims were shot in the head. Hicks appeared in court on Wednesday and is being held without bond. Police have said that Hicks may have targeted his victims because of an ongoing parking dispute, but the local prosecutor told WRAL that investigators were also looking into the possibility that the murders were a hate crime. WRAL reports that according to 911 calls released Wednesday, callers reported hearing multiple gunshots. Quote, I heard about 8 shots go off in the apartment, end quote. One caller said, quote, about 3 girls, more than one girl, screaming, and then there was nothing. Then I heard about 3 more shots go off, end quote. Another caller reports hearing 5 to 10 gunshots. This reported on February 11th, 2015 at 1:42 p.m. So this was obviously the report of the newspaper. As we hear two different opinions, one by the father of the victims, and he claimed that his daughters were killed because they were Muslims. The criminal hated them because how they look. They're Muslims wearing scarves. But the second opinion is that actually there was some dispute about a parking spot. And as we continue to investigate that case, we'll find the truth. But Professor Todd Green cares less about finding the truth. He just wants to show you that Muslims in America are victims. What more do you need than 3 young people getting killed by a white supremacist? It's a good scenario for any liberals like Professor Green to share and spread all over America. What evidence did the father have concerning that white man to say that he is a white supremacist criminal? Do you know what's so amazing about CARE, the Council on America, Islamic Relations in America? They are investigating every incident between Muslims in America and the rest of America, and they quick to rush to label them as hate crimes. Why? Because they are trying to say not only Muslims kill Americans, but Americans are harassing and hurting the Muslims. And that is one early step for Muslims to take over any land. Pretend to be victims, ask for their rights, and then they force their rights against all the people whom they live with. These are strategies used by Muslims in Europe and have been used in America since September 11. But let's continue with our study. Professor Green here is telling us that Dr. Muhammad was called to testify about the personal impact of the rise of white nationalist hate upon him and his family. Why Professor Green is saying that? It's very simple. Like I shared with you before, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. He already made the assumption that the 3 Muslim victims who were killed by white supremacists. And now he's repeating the same lie again to convince his audience that that is the case.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries. What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
But what happened in the hearing was a different story. The legislators began to ask him different questions, Republicans and Democrats. And what were these questions? It is if Dr. Muhammad taught his daughters to hate, if he taught his daughters to be violent, if Islam teach anti-Semitism or hatred of the Jews. And those who asked these questions were 100% ignorant of Islam or do not have the guts to speak the truth about what Muslims really believe. Trust me, these questions which were asked in that hearing did not help America to expose Islam, but actually it was used to manipulate the truth about what Islam teach about hatred. Maybe, if Mr. Hicks, who killed his daughters and the son-in-law, was not a white supremacist, maybe there is some other reasons why his daughters were killed. Maybe there was dispute, as we heard in that newspaper report, about a parking lot. Maybe his daughters were rude to that white man and they saw they are much better to obey the laws of parking lots in America. Maybe they lived in America, in North Carolina, as if they were living in their home country where there is zero respect for others who are not Muslims. Maybe that's why these legislators were asking these questions. Neither I or Professor Green knows what really happened on that day. I want us to go back to see what really we know about that case. On April 6, 2015, prosecutors confirmed Hicks was eligible to face a death penalty trial after finding incriminating evidence against him. However, on April 11, 2019, new Durham County District Attorney Satana DeBerry announced that prosecutors would not seek the death penalty against Hicks in an effort to speed up the legal process and avoid further delays. So now we know Mr. Hicks was not charged with a hate crime. Well, let's go to another interview on the TV to learn more about this case.
The father of three Muslim students who were shot and killed in Chapel Hill speaks to Eyewitness News.
And this comes as the case against Greg Hicks, the man accused of opening fire on those students, is set to go to trial in July. The death penalty is not on the table. Tim Pulliam spoke with Muhammad Abdul Salha. Tim joins us live from the Breaking News Center with more on this one. Tim?
Andrea, the family of the three Muslim students shot and killed say they are relieved this murder trial will begin this summer. In July, Craig Hicks's murder trial in Durham will likely be a global spectacle. The 50-year-old, suspected of gunning down three Muslim students 4 years ago, will not be put to death if convicted. District Attorney Satana DeBerry announcing that last week. Tonight, the father of Razan Abu Salah, Yusora Barakat, and her husband Dia is reacting to the DA's decision.
We're not finding any relief or reward and anybody is dying, but a visceral reaction any parent can have for losing three children to murder would be seeking the maximum punishment they can. But we respect that Ms. DeBerry has her principal stand on capital punishment.
Dr. Muhammad Abu Salha says his family will accept the trial's outcome. Last week, he spoke to a Judiciary House committee about Islamophobia during a hate crime and white nationalism forum, which was live streamed on YouTube. The company disabled the comments after hateful speech flooded the page.
It's very unfortunate that some people don't want to hear the truth and some people cannot see the other with the same eyes they see themselves. And that is exactly the point. This country is based on diversity and made of immigrants. And we're so colorful we have to come to terms with that and treat each other with love and respect.
Although the FBI investigated the students' deaths as a possible hate crime, Hicks is only facing 3 counts for murder. If convicted, he could face life in prison. We're live tonight. Tim Pulliam, ABC 11, Eyewitness News.
Notice here from this interview on this TV that the father, Muhammad Abu Salha, changed his tone. He's no longer insisting that his daughters and his son-in-law were killed simply because they are Muslims, as we'll see here in a minute. But he made the statement that he will accept whatever result the court and the investigators will find. And now I want to ask the question, who is this Mr. Hicks? What do we know about him? Was he really a white supremacist? And did he kill his victims just because they are Muslims?
From Wikipedia, 2015 Chapel Hill shooting, the perpetrator. Craig Stephen Hicks was divorced twice, with one marriage lasting only 5 months. Hicks was described by neighbors as threatening. In 2013, he reported a dispute between a tow truck driver and a car's owner to police and walked to a parking lot with a gun. A friend of Ushore stated that Hicks was holding a rifle while complaining about extra cars in the neighborhood and noise from their game of Risk. Another resident and a friend of Barakat and Ushore Abashala told the Associated Press that Hicks complained about once a month that two men were parking in a visitor's space as well as their assigned spot. He would come over to the door, knock on the door, and have a gun on his hip, saying, "You guys need not to park here." Both Hicks and his neighbors complained to the property managers, who warned them to call the police if they were harassed again.
So now we got some evidence that Mr. Hicks complained often about the parking situation where they live, not just with the victims whom he killed. Well, let's continue to learn more about Mr. Hicks.
Hicks had a fixation on the 1993 movie Falling Down, strong enough for his ex-wife to make specific mention of it after the shootings. The movie centered on a divorced and unemployed man who suffers a mental breakdown and goes on a violent rampage. She described Hicks as watching it incessantly and finding the movie hilarious, showing no compassion at all.
Maybe from this alone, we know that Mr. Hicks had a psychological problem and he needed some attention. Now, let us know a little bit more about Mr. Hicks' thoughts on religion.
Hicks posted on Facebook comments and images that were critical of all religions and religious violence, and his profile read, "Atheist for Equality." He was critical of Christian opponents of the Park 51 Project, stating, "Seems an overwhelming majority of Christians in this country feel that the Muslims are using the Ground Zero Mosque plans to mark their conquest. Bunch of hypocrites. Everywhere I've been in this country, there are churches marking the Christian conquest of this country from the Native Americans."
So here we see Mr. Hicks sympathizing with the Muslims, and he was ignorant of the fact that Ground Zero Mosque was truly a victory mosque for Muslims to celebrate the death of 3,000 Americans, as we have said before, and he did not like Christians at all.
He also posted, "I hate Islam just as much as Christianity, but they have the right to worship in this country just as much as any others do." He also opined on the same page that it would be okay if we had a Muslim president. Hicks had set a banner image on his page to one stating, "I don't deny you your right to believe whatever you'd like, but I have the right to point out it's ignorant and dangerous for as long as your baseless superstitions keep killing people." In another Facebook post, Hicks stated, "I give your religion as much respect as your religion gives me. There's nothing complicated about it, and I have every right to insult a religion that goes out of its way to insult, to judge, and to condemn me as an inadequate human being, which your religion does with self-righteous gusto."
So in simple words, Mr. Hicks was an atheist. He did not care about religion, but he also needed to be respected by all religious groups.
His wife described Hicks as a champion of individuals' rights and said the incident had nothing to do with religion or the victim's faith, but was related to a long-standing parking dispute that my husband had with the neighbors. Neighbors confirmed that Hicks had frequently complained about parking and noise for years and would confront residents while armed. Hicks is a gun right advocate and a concealed weapons permit who had 13 firearms in his house.
Now we ask the question, was Professor Green aware of all these facts about Mr. Hicks? Or he just made up his mind about that Hicks is a white supremacist? For now we know that Mr. Hicks have many problems with many people concerning the parking lot situation. And now let me share with you how this case ended in the court.
The Wikipedia report, the Chapel Hill Police Department stated that their preliminary investigation indicates that the crime was motivated by an ongoing neighbor dispute over parking. Hicks has cooperated with investigators. Hicks was charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder. On February 16th, Hicks was indicted by a Durham County grand jury on 3 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of discharging a firearm into an occupied dwelling. The Federal Bureau of Investigation and the United States Department of Justice also launched their own investigations into the shooting. On June 12, 2019, Hicks pleaded guilty to the shooting and was sentenced to 3 consecutive terms of life imprisonment.
So here are the facts. The investigation did not prove that there was hate crime, and this case has nothing to do with Islam or Muslims. What is shocking me, my friends, is this. Professor Todd Green will not talk about any of the hundreds of thousands of cases where Muslims kill Christians, kill Jews, and kill others for hate crime. But he create a hate crime in this case just to show his sympathy towards Muslims who live among us in America. So, Professor Green, you are wrong again. And as for the questions of the hearing, these questions are very important. And sadly, they were asked to the wrong person who will never admit that Islam teach hate towards Jews or there are any radicalism in Islam. And my advice to you, my dear listeners, just simply read the Quran and you'll find the truth for yourselves. And to continue our study of Islamophobia and the 2020 election, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.